Okay, we're going to talk about two halachot, the melacha of lisha and borer. Lisha is kneading, borer is separation. There are two halachot that we're going to talk about, Be'ezrat Hashem. Lisha is one of the lash, melacha of lash is one of the melachot that not too many people are familiar with it, and it's very easy for people to come over this halacha without even paying attention. So lash, what is the lash? What is the melacha of kneading? Lash is defined as combining of tiny pieces into a solid by means of liquid. That's what lisha means. Take small pieces, you make these small pieces to one big thing with the help of a liquid. And that's therefore, when the melacha of lash is done through any kind of liquid. It could be water, could be oil, could be wine, anything that is a liquid, this melacha could be done with them. The melacha of lash also applies when you put, even if you put the liquid inside the food, even though that you don't mix it up, the fact that you pour water over it, you are over the melacha of lash. In other words, if let's say you take a bottle of water and throw it outside in the mud, even though you don't mix the mud, right? That's once you put the water there, you are over on the sunnah melacha of lash. Because the mud, afar, is something that by the means of water, every piece of dust becomes a mud. In order to become mud, you have to mix it up. But even if you don't mix it up, by the fact that you just pour the water over it, that's already you are over on the sunnah melacha of lash. Now, there's a difference between belila ava and belila raka, which is a mix, which is a soft mix or a hard mix. The soft mix means that when you, let's say you're making brownies, right? When you make brownies, the mix, when you pour the mix, is a belila raka. That's a soft mix. When you're making bread, that's a hard mix. That belila ava. The halacha in each one is different. So you need to keep this in mind. We are going to explain what is the halacha regarding belila raka and what the halacha would be regarding belila ava. Also, the isur melacha of lash, it does not have to be only by ochel, even if it's not food related, still the melacha of lash would apply, which the example would be the afar, the dust. When you pour water, that's also you are open the isur of melacha. Now you are allowed to do kneading a lash, but under two conditions. One, if during the week you pour the water, then the food, then you change the direction. First on Shabbos you pour the water, then you put the food. If during the week you have the water, then the food. Then on Shabbos, you do the food, then the water. You have to change the order of how you mix things up. That's number one. Number two, the way you are mixing them. If you mix them with a spoon, then you have to use the handle of the spoon to mix them up. Right? That's, if you do these two, then if you have belila raka, a soft mix, then you are allowed to do that on Shabbos. But belila ava, no. Belila raka, if you do this too, you change the order of how, when you put the food first, or the water first, you change the order and change the way you mix them, then you are allowed to do that on Shabbos for belila raka, the soft mix. Now, what about belila ava? What about the hard mix? The hard mix is a whole different story. Because belila ava could be mamash isur midoraita, if somebody, like the example would be making a dough on Shabbos, right? Take flour, put a little water in it, and you're making a dough. The dough is a hard mix. you are not allowed to do belila about the hard mix on Shabbos at all. Only under two circumstances you are allowed to follow the same conditions that I gave for the soft mix and use it for the hard mix. And the two circumstances: one, it was impossible to make it before Shabbos, and there was the food that you are making, you weren't able to make it before Shabbos, and you are making it l'sorech tinok, you're making it for a child, then you are allowed to do that on Shabbos, even if the mix is hard mix. Okay? But, and I'll give an example for all of them, then you could see how this works. Now what is the gather? What would be, how do you define between belila rakam, belila ava? How do you know what is considered a soft mix and what's considered hard mix? Soft mix means when you pour it from a bowl, it just pours. Without help, just pours down like a water. But if it's too watery, then it's not even belila raka. It's nothing, it's liquid. But if it pours, but it pours very softly down, like I said, when you get brownie, the mix that you make for brownie, the brownie just mixes down, that pours down, that's the soft mix. Hard mix means that you have to pick it up. You could pick it up by yourself, otherwise you could hold it. That's considered hard mix. And therefore, and also the isur of lush does not apply if you have big pieces. Like let's say you take big pieces of potato and you pour oil in them, or you have non-mayonnaise, you have any type of liquid, you put it together and you have these big pieces attached to each other, that's not considered a kneading, it's not considered lush, and therefore is muta. The melacha of lush does not have to be gedule karka. We said before that the certain lachot sachita and other things, it has to be that gedule karka, and there was anything, the melacha would apply only if it goes from the ground. By lush is not like that. By lush, even if the things that are not migidule karka, even things that are not grown from the ground, this alacha, this melacha, this alacha of kneading lush would apply to them. And therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if you have things that are chemics, it's not even food or any item, things that chemists made, if you mix them together, let's say you take pills, smash them, then you pour water on them and you put them together, this melacha would apply to them also. And therefore, you have to be very, very careful that so many things that you could do on Shabbat, that the melacha of lush would really apply to them, and one has to pay attention to them. The other things that we said before, that if you have samukh le sauda, that you have close to the sauda, certain things was mutar, not lush. The melacha of lush, even if next to the sauda, you're doing it right away, still is asur to do that. The samukh le sauda, half an hour next to the sauda, this leniency would not apply to melacha of lush. Now, let's talk about a few practical things. Hot chocolate. The hot chocolate, you have the powder and you're putting hot water over them and you're making a hot chocolate. Is it mutar or is it asur to make a hot chocolate on Shabbos? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that's all, says that you are allowed to do that because that's the derech achila, that's the way you drink hot chocolate. There's no other way to do it. In order to have a hot chocolate, you have to pour water over it, and then it becomes a hot chocolate. That's the way it is. So there's no other way of having hot chocolate without having hot water over this powder. Therefore, it says, because it's derech achilato bekach, that's the way they eat, they drink hot chocolate, it says it's mutar to do that. Now, the instant potato. How do you make instant potato? You add water to the powder, make instant potato, and normally instant potato becomes a hard mix, right? That's the way it comes out to be. It's not soft. Ana, what did we say regarding Belila Ava? Belila Ava, we said that the only time you are allowed to use the two leniency that we said, two conditions, that you change the order and you change the way you mix during the week. By instant potato, you could do both, but because you are able to do it in Erev Shabbos, you cannot do it on Shabbat. Therefore, instant potato, one is not allowed to make on Shabbat, it's considered, it's asur to do that.
But wouldn't that be a Belilava?
The Belilava is asur.
Right.
I said it's asur.
Even...
I said Belilava is asur, is mutar only if it's impossible to make it before Shabbat. Right, but instead, no, I said no, either one.
Okay.
Either one you could do it. Instant pudding. Instant pudding also would be the same thing, that, but instant pudding, if you make it belila raka, you're making a soft mix, then you are allowed to do that if you follow the two conditions. If you make it a hard mix, then you cannot do it, even if you follow the two conditions, because you could make it before Shabbat. Okay?
Yeah, did you say that instant potatoes is not the way?
It's not zasur. You are not allowed to do that. Okay,
even
jelly.
Even changing the order.
That's right. Because it could be done before Shabbos.
I'm
going to talk about that. But hold the question if you can, till after the shiur. If I don't cover it, then you could ask. Jelly. Making a jelly on Shabbos. The way you make jelly, you pour water over the mix, and then the way you make it right away, it's very soft, it's liquidy. Then they put it in the freezer or refrigerator for after a while, becomes jelly. Now, the question is that okay? Are you allowed to do that or no? It doesn't matter that right away when you pour water over it, it becomes very liquid, because the end result of jelly is belila raka, is a soft mix or hard mix, and therefore you are not allowed to do that. Making a baby cereal, right? Oatmeal for babies or oatmeal for adults. For adults, for sure is asur, because it's belila ava. The way you make them, you have hard mix, you pour water over them and become a hard mix, and you are not allowed to do that, even if you follow the two conditions, because you could do it in Erev Shabbos. It's not something that you have to do it on Shabbos. And what? Okay, don't eat it. don't have to have oatmeal on Shabbos.
Between the oatmeal and your chocolate.
I'm going to talk about that. Now, for a tinok, you're making a daisa, making it in the oatmeal for a child, even if it's a belilava, even if it's a hard mix, you could do that, because one of the conditions that we said, you are allowed to follow the original two conditions. If it's a sorech tinok, it's for the child's purpose, you are allowed to do that. Therefore, making oatmeal for a child, you are allowed to do that on Shabbat, and therefore it's mutar. Now, the difference between hot chocolate and making oatmeal is like this. Hot chocolate, that's the derech to eat hot chocolate. There's no other way to have it. This, the daisa, is because it is, if it would be a belila raka, then it's not a problem. If it would be a soft mix, then it's not a problem. The problem is that the only way you could make oatmeal, you have to make a hard mix, and the hard mix is a she'elaf, it's a mamash rochamido raita here. And also with Shela Bishul too. That's also another problem. That's to make it Kilishilishi, right? Again, it has to be, it have to change the thing, and cannot make it on Shabbos. It's not, it's dealing with the Sur Midoraita.
If you do it for the child, then.
But Juniko, you have to change the
no,
ways.
If you
and
do it for the child, can you then also yourself eat the whatever is remaining?
If you are a child, you could do that, yeah. Now, the melacha of the liquids that the melacha of lash would apply to, it would be water, yain, oil, and vinegar. Mayonnaise is not considered liquid, therefore you could use mayonnaise on Shabbos to make a lot of different salads. Let's say you're making eggplant salad, or carrot salad, or potato salad, or egg salad, or tuna salad, all these things, because using mayonnaise with them, you cannot use oil, cannot use vinegar. If you're only using a mayonnaise with them, you are allowed to do that on Shabbat, even though that the end result is a thick mix, you are allowed, because you are not using a liquid. But some say that because mayonnaise has water in it, and therefore it could be a problem of flush also. But the best thing is to do, to change the ways, and there was the follow the first two conditions that I said. This way, you are yotzei the chova according to everybody. Now, some say that you don't have to do that. You don't have to change the ways. Some say it's okay to do that the normal way. But lechatechila, the poskim of Shmirat Shabbat Kel Chata says the best thing is to change the ways and follow the first two conditions, and this way you are not dealing with the Isur Malacha. Now, the big question is, how can one eat cereals on Shabbos? You want to have cornflakes or Rice Krispies or any kind of cereals on Shabbos, how can you eat them? Because why, once you pour milk over them, you're making a belila rakka or belila ava, right? Therefore, when you have a cornflakes, you want to have a cornflakes on Shabbat, the best thing is to do, to change the ways. And if during the week you have the milk first, then you put the cornflakes on Shabbat, first you put cornflakes and you put the milk. And eat them right away. Don't let it sit there. Because if you eat them right away, then it doesn't become to anything. You eat them right away, then it's not a problem, and you are allowed to do that. Making a chopped liver on Shabbos. A chopped liver, what's involved with chopped liver? You have chopped liver, you have eggs, and you have mayonnaise, right? And some people put some oil in them. These four things, the mayonnaise is not the problem, the chopped liver is not the problem, the eggs is not the problem. Problem is the oil. Let's say somebody says, you want to have oil in them, and the end result is a thick mix. How can one make it on Shabbos? If you remember, we said that under two conditions you cannot the only way you could make a hard mix on Shabbos is that you have to follow two conditions. One, you cannot make it before Shabbos, or you're making it for a child. Now, making a chopped liver, some say, is sakana to make it before Shabbos. What's the sakana involved? Think about this. Well, so sakana is that if you have eggs, that peeled eggs wait overnight, or peeled onion sitting somewhere overnight, you are not allowed to eat it next day. Therefore, if you make a chopped liver before Shabbos, it would be a problem. Therefore, I cannot make it. First, but it's not true. It's not a shell of sakana. You could make chopped liver, you could leave it in your refrigerator, you could eat Shabbos morning. It's not a problem. Therefore, because it is possible to make it before Shabbos, then one should make it before Shabbos and don't do it on Shabbos. Now, if somebody wants to make it on Shabbos, don't use oil in them, lechat techila, use only mayonnaise, then it's not a problem. You could have that also on Shabbos. Now, what happens if you are in somebody's home? They don't know the melacha of kneading, they don't understand melacha of flush, and they made food, they bring it at the table, and you're sitting at the table, and you are faced with the question, what to do here? Are you allowed to eat the food that was made on Shabbat with the Isur melacha of flush? Lush and cooking is no difference. If somebody cooks on Shabbos, or if somebody does a melacha of flush on Shabbat, no difference between them. Are you allowed to eat somebody made food on Shabbat? No. If somebody made something through the melacha of kneading, also one is not allowed to eat. The halacha is that if somebody purposely, bemezit, cooked or did a melacha of flush, you are not allowed to eat himself, le'olam, forever, and for others, on Motzei Shabbat, you are allowed to eat. But if it was done not in purpose, it was done, no, didn't know the halacha, then on Shabbat they are not allowed to use that food. They are allowed to use it on Motzei Shabbat. Therefore, if you are in somebody's home, the melacha of lash was done, then one is not allowed to use them, and you have to cannot eat them. It's considered tref, considered not kosher. But if something was done that lefi halacha is mutar, that the chatechira, one should not use that, then is mutar. Then you are allowed to rely on the leniency and use the food. But if under no circumstance, according to everybody, is considered the melacha flush, one is not allowed to use that under any circumstances, considered tref. There is also another melacha on Shabbat, that's not on Shabbat, but the melacha of tzviya, coloring. The coloring is, that means if you color any item on Shabbat, considered, no, coloring is also. But you are this, the melacha of tzviya, melacha of coloring, does not apply the food. In other words, if you have white wine and red wine, you want to mix them up together, it's not a problem. Or if you have milk, you put it inside the coffee, that's not a problem. That tzviya be'ochel, coloring in the ochel, is not a problem. But what would be the melacha of tzviya, of coloring, that really applies, and a lot of people are really without understanding they're doing it? If you have a toilet, and inside your toilet is a soap, it's colored soap, when you flush, right, the soap is sitting inside the toilet, you flush, and that makes the water colored. That's a sort to be used on Shabbat. But if you have the soap sitting inside the tub, inside the bowl, inside the water, when you flush, it comes out already colored water, that's fine. But if the soap sitting inside the toilet, when you flush, the water hits the soap, and that makes the soap colored, that's asur. You are not allowed to use that on Shabbos. Therefore, that you have to pay attention to that. Now, therefore, if you have things like that, you have to make sure to take them off before Shabbat, that you are not going to be faced with this problem. But if let's say you go to somebody's home, you go to the airport, go whatever, they have this thing, take it out before you use the toilet. Then put it back. Don't take it home. Just leave it there. Put it back and could use it.
If it's in the tank.
In the tank is fine. Yes, in the tank is fine. Another thing that you could do, that is also mutar on Shabbat, if you are smearing food, let's say you have butter, hummus, or anything like that, if you, as long as you are doing it for the purpose of eating, smearing is considered something that's asur on Shabbat. But you are allowed to smear food on your bread, on challah, or matzah, or cookies, whatever you have, you are allowed to do that. It's not a problem.
What about chocolate milk? You put chocolate syrup.
Same thing. Mutar, like I had chocolate. Now, second melacha is borer. Borer also is considered one of the limited melacha, one of the 39 melachot on Shabbat, which is separation, bad from good. That's the melacha of borer. And because if somebody has something that doesn't want to use, consider pesolet. Something that you want, that's considered ochel. Pesolet mitoch ochel, something that you don't want, from something that you want, is asur on Shabbat. But if something that you want, you are allowed to separate them from something you don't want. Therefore, that's the term, pesolet mitoch ochel, or ochel mitoch pesolet. Pesolet mitoch ochel is asur. Ochel mitoch pesolet is mutar under three conditions. Condition number one has to be ochel mitoch pesolet. Has to be food from junk. Number two, it has to be, when you separate them, it has to be, you want it for right away. You want to eat them within half an hour of the time that you're doing that. Number three, you have to do it with your hand. You cannot use a utensil that normally is used to separate things. In other words, the ladle that have holes in them, you are not allowed to use those ladles on Shabbat, because that's considered a keli miyuchad leborer. That's considered a utensil that was made to separate stuff from things. Okay, so these are the two things that we need to understand, and we could, if these two halachot is clear, we could talk about a lot of different things. If you have a lemon, right, sometimes people squeeze lemon inside the salad, and with the lemon, seeds comes out, right, and you want to take the seeds out. Right, you don't want to have seeds inside the salad. You are not allowed to do that, because that seeds considered a pesolet. That's considered a junk. Why? Once you take them out, you are mafrid, you are separating the junk from the food, and therefore you are not allowed to do that. But what you can do, you could take all the salads out and leave the seeds in there by itself, and that's considered ochel mitoch vesolet. That's number one. Number two, you're doing it within half an hour of your meal. Number three, you are not using a special utensil to do that. Now, I just want to point one thing. Past few weeks, we said that miyad or le'altar means half an hour. That it has to be samukh le'sauda. We said half an hour is considered samukh le'sauda. Somebody asked, I don't know who it was, a few weeks ago, that what happens if, let's say, you have a big sauda. We have a sauda for 50 people. Half an hour is not going to make it. You can't work. You cannot make salad, like make a small pieces. We said also, remember, we said that you are allowed to make small pieces, like Israeli salad you are allowed to make on Shabbat, if it is within half an hour to the sauda. What happens if you want to make a lot of Israeli salad, and you have a big table, and a lot of guests, half an hour is not going to do it. What should you do? The answer is, you work with your crowd. In other words, the whole idea of half an hour is that if, when you have a crowd of people, that then there was a 5, 6, 7, 8 people, half an hour is enough. Then there was, it should not be big interruption between making the salad and eating the food. But if it is a big interruption, big gap, then it would be a problem. Therefore, if you are constantly involved in making the salad, and there's not going to be a big gap from the time that you finish making and eating your soda, then you've cheshbon it out. You make up, you figure out how long you need. You need an hour, half an hour and a half, whatever time you need. You work with the time, and you make the half an hour is not necessarily that the time, because half an hour is only was made for a small group. If you have a big group, then there's a difference. So same thing with borer. If you need to make a borer, as I said, one of the conditions was that it has to be samukh le'sauda. Samukh means half an hour. But then again, if you have a big gathering and you need more than half an hour, then you are allowed to do that. If you have two different types of food, let's say you made chicken and you made meat in the same pot, you want to separate them. You are not allowed to do that. But even though both of them are ochel, that because once you take one of them out, you separate two things from each other, that's also is asur to do that. You are not allowed to do that. You have to follow the three conditions to do this. But let's say you have different pieces of chicken. You have thighs, you have top, you have bottom of chicken, and they all mix. You are allowed to separate those because they are considered one thing. That's not considered two things. Or you have meats. You have different types of meats. That also is considered one item, and therefore you are allowed to separate them and put them in different plates. Now, the real question comes out, a lot of houses that have small children, when you have toys. Toys are so many different types. There are small pieces, big pieces, all you go downstairs in your playroom, you see all over, right? And you come down, you want to put them away. In order to put them away, you have to separate them. You cannot do that. You cannot separate all these things and put them each one by themselves, and that becomes a she'ela of borer. But if you want, let's say you take one piece, you play with it, then put them away. Then you take the next piece, you play with it and put them away. That's not considered borer, because each one by itself you are using to it is used to play with it, and it's used to for something that you need. But if you just separate each one and you put each one away, that's considered borer.
What if you don't separate it? You're just taking all these pieces now.
You have to do something.
Now.
You have to do something with them. You cannot just put them. The whole the quote, please don't let me say that if you have two different types of food, and let's say somebody asks you, I want the chicken. It's not for you. You're doing it for somebody else. You are allowed to do that. That's for use means it doesn't have to be for your use, could be for anybody's use. As long as the food is used right away, then it's considered la'elta, it's considered samuch, and then you could do that. Now, if you have Friday night, you made soup. Inside the soup, you have vegetables, or you have chicken, or whatever you have in your soup. You want to serve the soup by itself, and then you want to use the chicken also later for the second course. What do? You take the soup out, then, or you take the chicken out, put it away, then you're using the soup. Or you're taking the vegetables out and using the soup. Is it asur or is it mutar? That's the machloket between Rabbi Eliashiv and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Eliashiv holds that it's mutar because that's a derech achila. That's the way people eat food. They make soup and chicken, but the chicken is for the second course and the soup is for the first course. Rabbi Moshe says it's considered borer. It's considered that you are separating two things from each other and therefore it's not mutar. The halacha is the minhag is to be mekel. You are allowed to do that, and it's not a problem. Now, there is one area that borer would be mutar, and that is if you have two things are mixed with each other, but they are separated once they are mixed. What does that mean? Means that let's say you have a tea bag inside the water. The tea bag and the water are mixed, but they are separated because each one is clearly, you can't mix two things that they are separated, they cannot be mixed. The tea bag inside the water, but it's so clear from each other, that's not considered ma'uravim, it's not considered mixed. Therefore, according to a lot of poskim, you are allowed to take the tea bag out and put it away and drink the tea because the tea bag never was mixed with the water. That's one idea. Now, if you have fish that there are bones in them, right, you are allowed to take the bones out and have the fish. Because there's for two reasons. One is derech achila, that's the way people eat fish, or the bones are separated already from the fish. Was borer ve'omer, it's not mixed in. It's not the bones and the fish are not mixed up. Therefore, you are allowed to take them out. I do want to tell you the minhag that gefilte fish was accepted by Ashkenazim is because not the shalav borer. It came out. They invented that. Because they didn't want to have to deal with the sheila of borer separation, they came up with the idea of borer. That was the invention that somebody came up with. Now, if somebody, let's say you have food and you have the pesolet that, let's say you want to take the garbage, the food, you don't care about the food, right? There's a lot of garbage inside it, and you want to take the garbage out to give it to your dog, you are allowed to do that. It's not considered borer either. And there was the ochel you don't want, the pesolet you want, and you want to take the pesolet out, even though the pesolet is pesolet, but for you it's considered ochel because you are giving it to your animal, to your dog or cat. Therefore, it's mutar. You are allowed to do that. You are allowed to separate it and give it to your animal. That's also considered a sorech. Now, washing vegetables and washing fruits. Let's say you want to have an apple on Shabbos, and you want to wash your apple before you eat it, or you have cucumbers or tomatoes, or anything like that. Are you allowed, or grapes, are you allowed to wash them before you eat them? Because the reason you're washing them, with dust on it or whatever it is, you're washing the thing, the solid out, and you're eating the fruit. The minhag is that they are makel to do that. The reason is makel, we are makel, because derech achila, that's the way it is. That's the way people eat fruit. Nobody eats fruit without washing it. The same thing with peeling fruits, right? Peeling fruits and peeling vegetables. That is categorized to three different categories. One, if you have fruits and there was people, derech haolam is, nobody eats those fruits without peeling them. Like, for instance, potatoes, right? Potatoes, nobody eats potatoes with the peels on. Do they or they don't? Today, the things change every day. Yeah.
Banana.
What? Banana. That's a banana. Very good. Banana. Now, even that, somebody might eat them.
Wow.
The bananas, normally, with their klal, nobody eats bananas with peels. Those, no shela, no question, you are allowed to take them out. Or orange. Oranges, also, you can. Nobody eats oranges with the peels. Cucumbers is different. Cucumbers, some people eat with the peels, some people take off the peels, right? Then that would be a questionable that are you allowed to do that or you are not allowed to do that. Or there are certain, like apples. Apples, everybody eats apples with the peels, right? So that's three different categories here. You have fruits that everybody eat them with the peels on. You have a fruit or vegetable. Some people eat with the peels. Some people eat without the peels. You have a type of fruits that nobody eats them with the peels on. Those that people don't eat them with the peels on, then everybody agrees that you are allowed to peel them off and use them on Shabbos. Those that some people do, some people don't, it could be makel also. Those that nobody does, you want to do it for yourself, then you should not do it on Shabbos. Because that is not a derech hetter. Because the whole hetter of peeling fruits and vegetables is because that's the way people eat them. If that's not the way people eat them, then the hetter, the leniency regarding borer, would not apply to them, and therefore one should not do that. Now, eating chicken with the skin on. It used to be that the chicken skin, it was the best food that they served. Today nobody eats the skin on, right? Are you allowed to take off the skin, or you are allowed to have the chicken with the skin? That Rav Eliashiv says that because today nobody eats the chicken with the skin on, you are allowed to take them off. Because that's normally derech klal, people don't eat them. They don't know whatever, for whatever reason it is, nobody eats them. But some say, used to be 20 years ago, they said that's not true. You couldn't take them off. The mamash was considered a pesolet. Today is derech achila bekach, and therefore you are at the bat. Let's say you have somebody sometimes eats it with the skin on, sometimes they eat without the skin on. Then they cannot take it off on Shabbos. Then you have to be careful not to take them off. Using a water filter on Shabbos. You have today in every home, kimat every home, they have a water filter on their faucet. Are you allowed to use them on Shabbat or not? If the water is drinkable without the filter, then it's not a problem. You could use the water filter. But if the water is impossible to be drunk without the water filter, then you should not use the filter. In other words, if you drink something, if you are stuck somewhere, they give you a cup of water from the sink and you would drink them, then it's not a problem to use the filter on Shabbos. But if under no circumstances you would not drink, you would rather die than drinking a faucet, water from faucet, then you cannot use the water because you're mamash doing a borev on Shabbos. However, you have to, I don't think anybody in the category. Kimat, today I don't know, 10 years ago, everybody drank from faucets. Today, every day things change, and you have to know yourself. It's not derech haolam. It has to be people themselves. If you are in that category that you drink a regular faucet water, if you have to, then it's not a problem to use a filter. But if you don't, and there was you'd rather fast not to drink water like that, then you cannot use them. Checking vegetables on Shabbos. If you have lettuce, first of all, one is not allowed to check vegetables on Shabbos. There's two issurim involved. There's the issur of netilat neshama, you're killing the bug, and you're doing issur borer. If you take a vegetable and you put it under the light, and then you see a bug. Excuse me. See a bug. What you can do, you cannot kill it. You could take that piece, the piece of lettuce with the bug on it, and throw them away. You cannot just take the bug away and throw them away, because that's considered borer. We take the vegetable, piece of the lettuce off with the bug, then you are allowed to do that. Now, some people, they soak their vegetables in a vinegar water or salt water or vegetable wash. You are not allowed to use any of this on Shabbos. Forget about the halacha borer. Is mamash considered killing? You're killing the bugs on Shabbos, which is considered one of the lameted melachot. The killing is one of the 39 melachot that one is not allowed to do that. Eating watermelon on Shabbos. The watermelon has seeds, right? Now, are you allowed to take the seeds off? I think somebody invented the watermelons without the seed also for that purpose. So I was a Jew probably who came out with
that.
I wasn't. I'm sure somebody did because he was worried about butter. The watermelon with seeds is also a problem of the question is, are you allowed to take them off, take off the seeds before you eating them, or you cannot do that? The best thing is to do, you should eat the watermelon with the seeds and throw them away. Because the reason is that because the derech achila is not like that. During the week, nobody sits down and take every seeds out before you eat them. And because it's not considered derech achila, therefore you are not allowed to do that on Shabbat. But if you're giving them to a young child, for a young child, it's considered derech, you don't want to give it, bottom with seeds on, then you are allowed to take the seeds off before giving to them, because for them, it's considered derech achila. Using the ladles with the holes on them on Shabbat, you are not allowed to do that if you are using them for the purpose of borer, for purpose of separation. But if you are using those ladles for not for the purpose of borer, then you are allowed to use them. In other words, if you want to dish out rice, right, or you want to dish out chicken without liquid in them, then it's not a problem because you are using them as a ladle. You are not using them as a vessel for separation. Now, the big question is, how do you wash your knife, spoon, and fork on Shabbos? Because when you have a lot of them, you want to put them separately in their drawers. How do you do that? You cannot wash everything and throw it inside somewhere and then take them out and put them away. That you are not allowed to do that, because when they are mixed together, that's considered as separation. Well, you can do two things. One, you wash the knife, wash it, put in the knife drawer. You take the next one out, you wash them, put them away. You don't throw everything in a bowl, then separate them later. That's one thing. The second thing that you can do, when you wash everything, when you throw them on the table, that they are not together, you are totally separated from each other, then you could pick them up and put them in their places. As long as they are not mixed and they are not all together, then you could put them in whichever way you wanted, separate them, you could put them together. But once they are mixed and they're considered a big cholander, then you cannot separate spoons and forks and knives and put them in their proper place. That's not allowed to do that. Now the thing is, what's considered mixed up, what's not considered mixed up. If they are not touching each other and they are so separate from each other in a big place, they are not touching each other, that's not considered mixed up. But if they are touching each other, that's considered mixed, and therefore one is not allowed to put them together. Using a pitcher that has holes on them, right? Chazonish holes that you are allowed to do, that you are allowed to use them. In other words, there are pitchers that have holes, and you have, let's say you have ice water. You want to pour water, but you don't want the ice out. You want the water out, not the ice. You are allowed to use that on Shabbat, because again, that's also a derech achila. That's the way people drink their water like that. If you have eggs inside the water, let's say you have hard-boiled eggs, and you forgot to drain the water out, you are allowed to take the eggs out, because that's the best example of separated. The eggs and the water, even though that they are together, but they are separated, and it's not considered mixed, therefore you are allowed to take the eggs out. The same thing, if you have pickles inside their water, their liquid, you are allowed to take the pickles out, because even though that they are together, that's considered separated from each other. But this halacha is not necessarily applies to olives. The olives is different. Olives, if you have a lot of olives inside the water, then it's considered mixed. Then you cannot throw the water out. But if you have only a few olives inside the water, then you are allowed to throw the water away and have the olives. What would be the halacha regarding a tuna fish? That then you could have to take with a little water out.
You could,
Could do that. But you cannot throw the water and have the thing. That you cannot drain the water out. Tuna fish also is the same thing. You are not allowed to drain the water of tuna fish and have the tuna fish. That also is considered a borer. If you want to do that, you have to take the tuna fish out and leave the water there. Cannot drain the water of the tuna fish and have the tuna, because they are not much mixed together, and you cannot see, not separated, it's mixed. And by draining the water out, you're doing the borer, and you're not allowed to do that.